Following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here is David Littlejohn with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome to the True Wealth Radio Show. It's the best Tuesday you've had all week, and we are stoked to have you tuning in and joining us today. You've got in studio today, yours truly, Dave Littlejohn, and cannot forget the Whiz Kid.
That's right, Matt Dixon.
All right, Matt. We have got, so you've organized the show today built upon entirely fallacious numbers. Is that what I understood?
That's right. I was somehow writing down the numbers like at 1:30, and I guess I didn't refresh my computer screen. So I thought that
curse
we,
you, cookies! Yeah, curse you!
I thought we finished the day up, and then we came into studio and we were talking it over.
What
and
a weird day, right? I mean, yeah. So we're just talking about the S&P 500. So it kind of comes out of the gate and drops, and by 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, we're like, oh, this is getting ugly, right? And then it proceeds to rally all the way up to where it is up. At the low of the day, it's down at like 41.65, rallies all the way up to 42.75, so 100-point rally, only to finish the day at 41.70 again. So like it basically fell to the – it was worse, I felt like, at the –
yeah, it was just slightly worse at the open. But.
You know, so it ended pretty ugly, but so it's down 0.7%.
Yeah. Right?
That's the real context of things, is 0.7%. But yeah, we were going to be like, oh, is this number or that number? It's like, those numbers are comedy. Mm-hmm. You guys are, I mean, how many of our listeners are like, oh, yes, that's hilarious. The numbers are wrong. Nobody. Just nobody.
Well, we found it funny, and that's all that matters.
I suppose. Oh, what's really going to be funny is I have to remember the call signs because you're changing the radio show, right? We're on FM radio now.
I feel really important all of a sudden.
Right? We went from just AM radio to now AM and FM, kicking twice as much butt.
I like it.
I love it. So, all right. Well, I don't know if anybody here listen. If you listen to this show and this station, you're not hiding under a rock. So a lot of this will not surprise you. But evidently, there is a military conflict. If you are on one side, they call it a war. If you are on the other side, they are calling it a special military operation, which I can't help but think of the movie. I'm going to make light of this without meaning to be making light of it, but let's all find some levity in life. Anybody remember Animal House? Right? When they said, oh, we're going to put them on double secret probation. And I'm like, oh, it's double secret probation. Do they know they're on double secret probation? Like, no, only the people in this room do. Like, oh, clever. And that's what I feel like a special military operation is the equivalent of. It's like, well, we don't call it a war.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I will tell you that shots have been fired, but not shots of vodka, not anywhere else. A lot of shots of vodka in Russia, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they're feeling the pain in Russia right now, economically.
Matt sent me a video, and this was actually, all right, you got to explain it to our listeners, because this was pretty hysterical.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, he's a stock analyst, and they invited him on to like national television. They're going over the stock market there in Russia, and the lady running the show, she asked them, you know, well,
yeah, what's your analysis of this situation, right?
Yeah, and he's like, well, I think I'm gonna have to go back to work as a part-time Santa Claus. And she looked at him all funny, you
know? This is subtitled, by the way, which makes it even more priceless.
Yeah. And he busts out, was it sparkling water in a champagne glass? And he basically toasts to the death of the Russian stock market and said,
it was straight vodka. And he was just like, you know, poured some vodka and said, all right,
probably
we're doing
this. Yeah. And he said, hey, it was a good stretch while it lasted, but it's over with and it's done. And he was so just like,
he was serious is the thing.
It wasn't a joke. No,
it wasn't hyperbole. It was like this dude got on the show and just said, yep, the market is done. And then he just bottoms up.
Yeah.
I mean, he did have the decency to pour it into a glass first, right? It wasn't just straight out of the bottle.
Her reaction is priceless, too.
She just sort of had this look of like, that just happened. That's not what we were told would happen, right?
Her brain imploded right there on the set.
Whoa. So anyway, that to me is right now, that's got to be what it feels like to be a Russian citizen, right? Now, in Ukraine, genuine tragedies of war. I'm not making light of that, right? That's not levity here. But for a moment, consider the idea that many, many, if not vast majority of Russians are sort of, when I say they're being kept in the dark about this, from an information perspective, I believe that's pretty accurate, right? They're shutting down communications.
They are.
And making it such that people cannot get information about what's going on in Ukraine.
The lines to withdraw money from ATMs.
Yeah.
The trying
ruble
to convert.
In the last month has collapsed by more than 45%. In the last 2 weeks, it's down 45%. So in about 10 days.
Yeah. Imagine you wake up and your money's not worth anything.
Right. So you think that the S&P 500 being down year to date about 12.5%, 13%. Yeah, imagine having a 45% collapse this month. Not for the year. Just in the last 10 days. Mm-hmm. Have your retirement plan or all of the money in your bank account be worth half. 45% drop so far. And now the political sanctions and the economic sanctions have extended to companies shutting down their operations. So we've heard of, I think, McDonald's now.
McDonald's,
they've
Coca-Cola.
Shut out. So Coca-Cola pulled
Starbucks.
Out Starbucks. We're seeing more and more global political pressure for the sanctions. This is a different kind of war, by the way, right?
It's an economic war.
It is an economic war. It does show what kind of vulnerabilities are in the system, if you will. Okay? And so I think that there's things that we can take away from this lesson, even as investors today.
I agree. What's one of the big ones that's kind of weighing on your heart?
Well, the illusion or the misrepresentation of safety.
Mm.
Okay, that's a biggie, right? Like, what does it mean to have a safe investment, right? Imagine if you're a Russian citizen and discovering that your purchasing power of your currency internationally has been cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now maybe domestically it hasn't yet, but you discover that every major country in the world is now for refusing to play ball with you economically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And nothing's even hardly getting shipped into your country.
Right.
UPS,
and so all
FedEx.
Of a sudden, the supply chains go from COVID disrupted to mechanically halted. Right.
There's a difference.
Right. Oh, no, there's a huge difference. I mean, COVID restricted was things like you're not allowed to go to work unless you're essential. And so, you know, we're at 30% capacity. Like, we've all been to restaurants where it's like there's three people working and they're trying to serve the whole restaurant and they just can't keep up. That's a supply chain example of like, well, it's all going to take longer and it's going to be harder and more. And, you know, it costs more because you just can't get the help. And so, like, the help that you have to pay them more and they're all burnt out and everything. We get that.
There's a difference.
Right?
Then,
but like, what happens when they just say, like,
no
the government
the
shows
kitchen.
Up and says, no, well, imagine that, oh, I would like to run this restaurant, but then every patron goes up to the door and says, we refuse to come in until you change.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's kind of what happens. Like, we will not come in and be customers until you fix this. Now, the handful of people that, you know, maybe you got the locals that can come in the back door, but everybody else is like, no, we could come in. We won't.
Right.
That makes it really, really tough. So that's a supply chain restriction that's mechanical, right? Like, we just did it. So the question now is, like, how does this all connect, right? All a dollar here at a ruble in Russia, they're connected through the financial system in some way or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if everything's stuffed into this big tube, right? If you push more in one end, something else falls out the other side, or vice versa. You pull from one side, something gets sucked in the other way. That's the issue with creating a financial vacuum or pressure on either side of a system, is that it's going to squish a different result out. It's going to manipulate something somewhere else when you change a variable.
The Nord Stream pipeline is a good example of that, right?
Yeah, like, how so?
Well, I mean, Russia's threatening, hey, you've sanctioned us, so what if we cut the switch and turn off all the natural gas going into Europe? And the Nord Stream pipeline's 40% of Europe's natural gas. So if they shut that off, well, how does Europe get their gas? So just like you're talking about, you put one thing in one end and...
Sorry.
But, I mean, Denmark and Sweden, I think, were the two that said that they were going to have to step up and start supplying Europe. So like you said, you push something in one end, something's got to come out the other. So maybe that's an example of how we might start to see supply chain shift into different areas.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what would happen, right? What do you think would happen if...
Well, energy prices that are already they're aggravated, they're through the roof, it's going to get worse. We're going to see energy prices go even higher in Europe if that's the case. And then we also see the inflationary pressure. If inflation's running hot and you've got to pay more because the supply and demand chain is now disrupted, prices go up on natural gas too.
All right. So now we have this game of chicken, as I'm hearing it, right?
Yeah.
The game of chicken is, so we sanction, the world sanctions Russia, and Russia says, well, we have something you want, right? That's not a very good Russian accent.
It was pretty close.
We have something you want. And then you go, well, what's that? And they said, no, that's it. We've got gas, right? and I have really juvenile today on this show. I feel like I owe an apology to our listeners. You guys are smarter than this, and I'm just dumbing it. I'm not dumbing it down. I'm being dumb while explaining it. Let me respect you more than this, okay? Bottom line is that if they cut off the supply of a commodity, but a natural resource nonetheless, and it's something that's being counted on, it's another supply disruption that's going to change the supply-demand input, and that blows stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a bad analogy.
I think it was a perfect pun. How about that?
Yeah, that's a shame. It's because it is massive impact, though, right? And so now the decision that you have is, like, are people willing to endure the financial hardships associated with trying to pressure Russia, right? Like, is Europe willing to endure the additional fuel costs associated with it? Now, some other things came out of this that I think are relevant to our investors, right?
Okay.
So, what was the United States response to? Let's talk about commodities and let's talk about oil prices. That's on everybody's mind.
Because we did have something pretty substantial happen today.
Yeah, we did. But we have to take an evil profit break first. So we're going to do that. All right.
Okay.
So hang on. And when we come back from the evil profit break, it's not evil either. It's right. But we got to take a break. We'll be right back. So stick around where we'll talk more about how all this is going to go down. You're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Matt, it can go on longer than we think. That's all I'm saying.
I bet it can.
All right, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen, and also our esteemed listeners, right?
Yep.
You can fit any of those categories. You can't fit all of them at the same time. Just saying.
What's awesome is we have so many listeners from so many different areas. It's
true.
Not just this local,
have listeners that listen to the podcast out of country.
Yeah.
They're like listening in like Korea and like fun places. I was like, how'd that work out?
Yeah. I think, was it Taiwan or something? We were trending in the top 25 on the podcast.
Well, there were only 4 podcasts there. I'm pretty sure.
By default, we're in the mix.
Exactly. So anyway, look, if you were just tuning in, you can grab a podcast that we're talking about. They're available at iTunes and Amazon and all the fun places you find them. Or the easy way is to go to our webpage and look under the Educate tab. You can listen to all the past shows. Not only are they all there, but a lot of it's because they make us record this stuff to make sure that, from a legal perspective, they can say, well, what did you say back then? Oh, well, we can bring it up and listen to the tape, right? It's on the microfilm.
So in theory, these words are permanent, David. They're just getting etched into the history of...
Well, yeah. Don't worry. If ever, since nobody ever... like, I feel like if you run for political office, then it's really like a sentence as opposed to... Now, I don't know if it's that bad.
Yeah.
It's, but, you know, at some point...
They're going to clip that right there where you were speaking with a little Russian accent.
They'll be like, oh, look what you were doing, right? And I'm going to look at this and I have a prediction.
Okay.
All of our listeners, I hope you can appreciate this, that the overreaction culture, like the air quotes around woke, right? And let's face it. This is the culture that will run around and look for ways to be offended and to try to extrapolate meaning. And sometimes, like, even if you mean to offend somebody, it's like they're just looking for ways to expand it beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my response to the overwoke culture. First of all, you're a jerk. Okay?
Facts.
Like, there you go. Like if your mission in life is to take anything somebody says and try to manipulate it to turn around and harm them with it, like, get a sense of humor, grow up, like, go on a date, do something, right? Like,
I love it.
Just stop wasting your life overanalyzing everybody else so you can complain. Okay? And the next is that at some point we're going to recognize that even leadership needs to have some humanity. Like, we are all real people. There's levity in life because there needs to be. If everything is all stress all the time, okay, that makes for a very dull boy, right? And if you've seen the movie, that ends badly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't want that. Okay, there has to be balance in our human interactions. Even leadership needs a break every now and then. Sometimes you don't get a break in a stress environment. But look, I actually hope that Joe Biden gets a chance to laugh on occasion, right? Even if I disagree with his policies and what he's doing and whatnot, we're in a terrible spot if you just are wishing evil on other people. Even if they're doing evil, it's like with Putin, I go, I'm not, like, I don't wish, like, I wish he would stop doing these evil things and he would sort of, like, come to his senses and apologize and get out of this and find a different solve. If, like, you really believe that there's some kind of ancestral claim to this place, do it different. Guns are not the answer to this thing, okay? But if we're sitting there thinking, like, I hope all he does is get crapped on all the time and somebody assassinates him, I'm like, okay, but if that happens, then what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's just, there's no end to this pathway if that's all you can come up with. Is, let's just keep harming other people until I get my way.
Right.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope.
Well, and we're there, and it creates massive tribalism, and it's the us versus them, and it's like, anarchy may sound good or sound sexy to some of you, but I'm telling you, like, you don't want that. You know how I know? Here's the hilariousness. Oh, God, I'm soapboxing here, but it's fun. Right? Okay, when Chaz was formed, right, the Seattle demilitarized zone, mm-hmm. whatever that zone was,
right,
and then murder started happening, people called cops and ambulances.
Right. To come into the zones that they just kicked them
right,
out of.
And you're like, no. You wanted lawless. Those things don't exist in lawless and orderless,
mm-hmm.
right? But you actually want those things. You just don't know how to articulate what you want, okay? And that happens all the time. Like, you don't know how to articulate what you want. You're frustrated or angry, and you're not getting your way as you envision it, but you don't really know what it should look like. So you're like a complainer, but you're not constructive in getting it solved. You're just like, well, my solve is, let's just shut it all down and plant in a garden. Like, okay, that's not going to be complex enough.
Like a fussy little three-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm sitting in my poopy diaper. I don't want to change it.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a winner. All right. Back to investing after our evil profit break, right? Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the supply and demand thing.
Yeah.
Well, it was going to hint at oil, right? Like, because we can't miss it. The price of the pump is nuts. And
Biden passed some policy today.
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And he gave a talk. I don't know if he passed a lot of policy, because here's what I heard, but fill me in if you heard other stuff.
Okay.
Right? Like, because I've had a lot going on today, so I haven't been in front of the news feed all the time. I'm with clients and doing other stuff too. The speech I heard was, look, we have a lot of oil resources right now that are already approved, and we need to start tapping into those.
Yeah.
But I also heard, But the solution of let's lower environmental regulations to make it easier to get oil is not the solution. We need to look at how we develop clean energy, right? So there's a combination of let's use the doors that we already have that are available, and I don't want to change policy on things. Okay. And then there was some politics too, which if I had to guess, the Biden administration spends a lot of time and effort polling people, trying to figure out what public opinion is and just try to legislate to public opinion.
Just, yeah, lean into what the public right? wants.
Like very much drift with the wind of like, well, if we need the votes, we need to get people to kind of triangulate around this idea. So let's try this.
So maybe that's why he announced the ban on Russian oil.
Well,
because
I am,
it's not going to make his economy look any better.
Yeah, I have to imagine that that's something that is a polling data-driven event.
Sure.
You know, when I listened to the State of the Union address, that was my takeaway. Because that wasn't it last Tuesday, right after the show last Tuesday,
yeah,
we did the State of the Union. And I listened to that, and my takeaways were, it's a mixed bag. I mean, where I was afraid is when I hear things like, we need to... fix inflation by putting in a higher minimum wage. And I look
and
at this
like,
and
that doesn't exist.
Well, it's not that. It's a so we can't get workers already. The minimum wage isn't relevant. People are already paying higher wages. But it's antithetical to what that causes, right? Higher minimum wages actually contribute toward inflation.
Yeah.
That by its very nature. And so just because this is the funny thing. Like Here's my example, right? If your tribal person goes out and says, you know what? We're going to legislate to make gravity not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like we wrote a bill that says gravity doesn't exist. So, you know, we should all be able to just have no gravity. And you know what gravity says? Meh, right? Like it doesn't care about your legislation. The principles at play will still be there. You can't legislate gravity away. It's like a universal law of physics. And until we conjure up a way to break the laws of physics, that's happening.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when somebody just says, well, we'll just raise the minimum wage and pretend that that's not inflationary, I'm like, you can't change the laws of economics. Just because you claim that's what it is doesn't change it, right? And if your solution is, well, we'll just tell companies what they're allowed to charge. It's like, okay, so you'll just stop the free markets.
That's even scarier.
Well, what that's saying is, well, we'll just end capitalism.
Yeah.
At which point I go, well, now which system are we going to use, right? Because when you're price fixing and the government does it, essentially the state's dictating the price. So now the state has the ownership. And yeah, you see where this is going, right?
Yeah.
So we're getting into what statism do you want? Is it it's not socialism. So is it communism or is it some kind of other federalism?
Ism. It's another version of
an ism.
It's an ism
where the state sets the pricing. And I go, well, that's not the free market anymore.
Can we call it Bidenism?
No. No, we don't. I'm just, but we say that's polling data though, right? There's somewhere people that don't understand the laws of economics are hearing that and going, yeah, I'll vote for a higher minimum wage. And
it's like
and
you're
you go,
voting for inflation.
Well, yes, but it's like, all right, I mean, it's a single issue voter in a sort of a non-complex thinking. And so if you're easily duped, that's the guy that just said like, let's change gravity. And I'm like, you can say it, but it doesn't mean it's real.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the issue with a lot of political speak these days is going out there and like, you know, you remember like at the beginning, the first day of the union, like Joe Biden said, like, we're going to cure cancer.
Yeah, I remember that and just I almost fell out of my chair.
Right. And it's like, we're going to cure cancer. And that to me was sort of like a statement against gravity. Because
mm-hmm.
first of all, cancer is a generic term for a category of diseases. It's got a broad spectrum and they don't all have the same causes, same effects. And, you know, so it's like, that's absurd, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's where, but you know, there's somebody somewhere that's like, somebody's, my life's been touched by cancer or somebody I care about.
Mm-hmm.
I want that. I want cancer gone. Is it? Well, no kidding. We all want it gone. But to stand up there and like say, like, we're going to cure cancer, like, how? Right? I mean, like, that's just, that's pollster pandering. So it drives me nuts. And I know this isn't the politics show, but like, my larger point is that. You're not going to fix inflation with more inflationary policy, right?
Yeah.
Printing money and paying people, like, even this, that makes people mad, the paying people not to work. Well, that's happened, right? It did happen.
And you can't deny it.
Right? It happened. And it's in some cases still happening. And if you paid people enough and they saved some of it, they may not have to work for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or what if you're not giving them dollars? What if you're comping them all the things that they need to
housing,
live?
Housing, yep.
Yeah, you can stay in the house.
We're gonna
here's
your
cell
your
phone.
Food.
Here's your utilities, and here's your food. It's like,
well now do you really need the money?
But yeah, you're, I mean, you know, you live the government's life, but okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, do you think that would have an impact? Because I do. Right? I mean,
100%.
If all somebody wants to do is play Xbox and the government will somehow enable that, they might. What if they did it? What if that was
a lot
the
of
ambition?
People do it? Yeah.
It's real. Right? And like, we don't have great social testing to prove this, but there's some folks that their ambition drops when it's like, well, you know, you have enough to survive. So there's an old like expression that says, if you want to demoralize a man, but I'm going to replace it, you want to demoralize a person.
Mm hmm.
Pay them just enough to survive, right? Pay them a living, pay them enough that they can't break out of the rat race. That's basically what that means. So, like, mm-hmm. if you make enough that you can't quit because you have to keep coming back, it's really demoralizing because there's no upside.
Right.
But you're structurally trapped in it where you can't get out. And we have done that in a number of ways policy-wise, right? So, all right, look. We got to hit the red button and stop. I'm like way in the weeds on this thing because I feel like so much of this war is politically driven.
It is.
And I look at the responses and I look at – so here's the takeaway of the segment that was more politics than anything else. The inflation that we are seeing I think is going to stick around for a stretch.
I agree.
I'm going to – now, does this mean the stock market is going to tank from here?
Maybe we'll talk about that after the break.
I say that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. And I'm going to talk about, like, Matt's going to help me, by the way. Matt's going to do more of the talking here. Inflation, stock market, mixed signals. But next Evil Profit Break right now. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show.
We're here. Yep. We're live. We're doing it.
Officially on FM also.
Yep.
Right? No longer just AM. We have arrived at the big time. I'm waiting for syndication. It's going to be epic. So... and, you know, we're taking application for advertisers that want to sponsor the program now. Okay. So anyway, that's probably not really true, but just see me after class. You know what? Send us an email, info@littlejohnfs.com. We'll talk. Like, we know how this stuff works. We're already talking about making this show live on YouTube.
That would be pretty cool.
I know, right? That's another one. How many people, if you would watch live on YouTube, I want a voting mechanism, right? So same thing. Just email us and say, yeah, I'd watch YouTube. So info@littlejohnfs.com. Let us know if, because then we can answer specific questions too, right? So if you ever have a question that you want on the radio, last time I put this out there, we played a fun game with a guest one time where we made up fictional financial terms. And he made them up on the spot, and then I had to define them. It's actually kind of fun. So I feel like maybe once a week we can have, like, the fictional financial term of the show, right? So I don't know what it'll, but this, like, strategery, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's perfect. So that one also was a Saturday Night Live spoof from the 90s with George Bush, right?
Yeah.
During the runoff between George Bush and Al Gore, it's like Al Gore's single word was lockbox. That came up all the time in Social Security discussion and strategery. That was George Bush.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It seemed like it was a kinder editorial period when you could make a joke and it was funny. Now they're just mean.
Mm-hmm.
But again, maybe that's just me looking for the offensiveness rather than looking for the joke. Right? Frankly, I like to laugh, so I tend to look for the joke. And sarcasm maybe for the week, but it is for me too. So, all right. At our break, we discussed what?
Where did we leave off?
Really? You're going to do this to
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I got distracted by pizza. I saw a pizza ad, and then I started thinking about pizza, and it all went away.
And we're not going to name names. We just know that at some point, if it's $60 or something for a pizza, I will officially say, that's not inflation. That's just gouging.
That's what it was. I ordered a pizza the other day, and it was 60-something bucks, and I didn't ask the price. I just ordered it, got there, went to pick it up and pay, and I'm like, really?
They didn't even deliver at that
point. No, it was pickup. And I'm like,
I mean, are they laundering money? Really?
There's got to be something going on behind
really?
The scenes.
Come
I'm like,
on.
So, you make the ranch with gold flake in it? Or like, come on.
Something here. It's 1,000% organic. First, we take all the organic stuff, and then we have to
put it through an organic machine.
We have to grind it up and turn that into mulch to reorganic it, so it's double secret organic.
That is a excellent marketing strategy because somewhere in Portland, people are going to line up to buy your double organic foods.
Your double secret organic. It's got to be double secret. If you listen to the rest of the show, you know what we're talking about. Okay, so some of it was about how is this inflation element going to stick around in the economy and what's it look like?
Mm-hmm.
And for you as investors, we can't really give specific advice on the show, but we want to talk about some things that are relevant. You know, first off, be an investor, not trader. Okay, if you're a trader, then your mentality on this is really short term and it's probably freaking you out.
Yeah.
Okay. Because my take on this is, as an investor with a 5-year or longer time horizon, you could say, wow, there's some things that are on pretty good sale right now.
Yeah, and there's some things that probably could use a trimming.
Yep. I mean, how many people wish they could go back in time and buy property in like 2008 and 9?
Oh, my goodness.
Right? So the stock market has kind of said like, hey, we're going to go back in time like 2 or 3 years and give you a chance to buy again at that price. In some cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at least a year or year and a half in many cases, we're going to let you go back in time and pay those prices. What do you say? So that's the investor mentality. It's like, well, what do you say? Do I want that thing still?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we went back in time. Now, then I also look forward in time and go, do I think this is still an investment I want to own into the future? Okay. That's a little more extrapolation, but going backward in time for prices, hey, that's buying on sale.
And we see a lot of stuff right now that's 40 or 50% off.
You ever wonder, like why
do
could,
you
want to
own it?
Like a coupon for buying stocks. Like if you just show up like, oh, we're buying Amazon, and you're like, oh, I have a 20% off coupon. You know what we call that? Now.
We just need to finish up that time machine we almost have done.
Yeah. I always figure we don't have to finish it up because if it's done in the future, it'll just come back and take care of us.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
now you're starting
time loop paradox? No,
yeah,
not okay?
Yeah, you're starting to warp my brain here a little
bit. So, never mind. Yeah, we built the time machine in the past. It'll be fine. So, if we're looking at elements, here's what I want you to try to think about as an investor. This is serious, and we're getting into the numbers topic here. So, For those that are tuning in on the segment here, right, at the end of the second segment, we're going to get into what do we look at in the markets and think of the question as what hasn't the market already anticipated?
Okay?
Like, what do you think feeling of the world is like, well, we all thought it was this, but we were wrong.
Can I take a stab at it? Are we there?
Well, in a second.
Oh,
just
okay.
Pause because that's a general question you should always ask yourself, right?
Sure.
The reason we're bringing it up is because markets are a forward pricing mechanism, right? Essentially, you're buying today in anticipation of future value, which means you're trying to predict what's going on into the future somewhat. And so you're pricing those predictions into the price of what you're willing to pay
now.
And
I feel like right now is a really hard time to price stuff in.
Well,
because
I agree.
So much stuff is happening that how much of it can you price in?
Well, so, I mean, you were about to say, right, when I asked, what do you think the market hasn't priced in already? And you said, I have a thought. So what's your thought?
Well, part of me thinks we priced in some of this war with Russia and Ukraine, but the analysts predicted it to be a short time frame of war. Ukraine's putting up a real fight.
Sure.
And so if they continue to fight this thing out, I mean, have we priced in a full 9 month to a year war? Or have we priced in 3 months worth of war?
Right. And I'm going to take it one step further than that.
Okay.
Is that really the question the market is looking for?
And I don't know that it is.
Right. Because if this war is still going on 9 months from now, is the war the surprise or the supply chain disruption or anything like that? Probably not. At that point, we will have priced it. It's sort of like in Afghanistan, right? I mean, that war went on for years and years. Or the Middle East went on for years and years. And we just got to where it was sort of a cost of doing business.
Right.
Right. That's how the markets treated it.
I just...
Not to, you know, disregard the human impact. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the markets moved on.
Yeah.
And said, well, that's a known. So now we're dealing with other stuff. So at what point does it become a known versus an unknown? Like, you know, to me, here's a wild card that was real. Like, what if Russia, in the process of getting into Chernobyl land, had an oopsie?
Yeah, and a complete nuclear meltdown. What if, yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah. What if there was some kind of nuclear reaction that all of a sudden made an area toxic and created a lot of fallout?
And we had a huge fire at Ukraine's nuclear facility, not Chernobyl, but the other one.
Right.
And that one is the second largest nuclear facility in Europe. It supplies a ton of power. What if that fire would have got out of control? I think they knocked it out. But, I mean, who's to say it doesn't happen again?
Exactly. So those, to me, are elements you go, I don't know if the market knows how to price that in yet. Because it's still sort of saying it's an outside probability. So it's priced in as, well, there's a 5% chance of that happening. But if it actually happens, then the market has to go, up, oh, recompute.
Here's where my brain is, and this is just me spitballing. But we look at Greece, right? Their currency just imploded on itself years ago. I don't remember what year that was. But
well, yeah, that was back in like 2011, right. Somewhere between 2011 and 13.
But I'm just looking at it. Greece was a pretty small country, or is a pretty small country. And that had a big effect on the stock market when their currency went upside down. And now I'm looking at Russia, who's much bigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, what if that currency doesn't recover?
So,
like, if their economy goes into a tailspin and the ruble doesn't recover, what type of impact does that have on the economy and the markets if Greece played such a big effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if a country the size of Russia, if their dollar goes under?
Well, so keep in mind, they're similar but different. Greece wasn't just Greece, right? When Greece had its financial struggles, the problem was that Greece is part of the European Union, and
right.
The European Union operates under the euro. Right. So Greece wasn't an independent currency.
That's true.
I think at one point, I think Greece uses the drachma was the original name of their currency.
Is that
currency,
what it was? And then they converted
I think,
it?
And there was discussion about, well, maybe we should go back to the drachma. But, you know, there were other systemic problems for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, pension obligations and so forth. And just because you go back to your own currency, if nobody wants it, right? Like, look at... wasn't it Venezuela recently that said, like, you know what? We're just going to go to Bitcoin because nobody trusts our currency.
Is that what they actually did?
Well, they accept Bitcoin now, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a biggie for them. It's fine. We'll go to something that everybody else...
Did you see on the news, Coinbase is banning a lot of people in Russia from converting their rubles to Bitcoin?
Sure.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, this is a different kind of war, and people need to wise up. There's two kinds of war that I am seeing happen right now on this... And there's more than this, but I'm seeing this a lot, right? Two of them are, right now, this is an actual currency, like economic war. When you shut somebody out of a system and you quarantine them so that they're on their own, if they don't have enough supplies to be independent, they can starve, right? This is an economic siege.
Right.
We're calling it sanctions, but that's what it is. It's an economic siege on Russia. And we're making, sadly, all of the people of Russia have to suffer, and the squeeze comes when the government fails because they just starve out. But how many people have to suffer through this process, right?
Exactly.
But the other kind of war that we see is this information war, where it's what information is real versus false, where does it come from, And it's the sort of the fight for, well, sure, it falls under the scope of free speech, but at what point are people yelling fire in a crowded theater too? You know, if you go on Twitter and promote things that are a lie, it's free speech to do it. But when the lie harms other people, then what? And I really don't have the answer to this. Right.
I think that's why then all the courts are fighting over that.
Well, and then people say, well, that's Twitter's fault. And Twitter's going, well, we just put it on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they muddy the waters of saying, well, we don't let anybody just put anything on. Now we try to police the truth. And then you go, well, who's in charge of policing the truth?
Mm.
Welcome to the information war.
Yep.
Okay. And so it is a battle for hearts, minds, and platforms. Okay. And if you don't believe me, ask Joe Rogan.
Ooh, well played. Way to tie that back in there.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about that, I think, last week.
We did.
So, all right, well, look. As investors, we've talked about, you know, what doesn't the market know? And, you know, maybe it's that this war is protracted a lot longer. What hasn't the market priced in yet? That is a recipe for traders to understand what is causing the volatility in this marketplace.
Have we talked about yield curves today?
We haven't, but that's a great question, because there are some more conflicting signals and the yield curve is one of them, but we do have to take one final obscene profit break, right? Or, you know, how about if we just call this one corporate responsibility break? We're going to do that. And
oh,
we'll be right
wow.
back.
So
stick
PC.
Around. Yes, we'll be right back. This is True Wealth on News Radio 93 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang. Welcome back to the home stretch of the True Wealth radio show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with...
some guy you drug in off the street.
I knew it. It's, you know, let's get him on payroll as fast as possible.
Okay.
All right. You know, because that's the kind of job market we're in. Did you have to use a resume?
No, I didn't even really apply.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind. We'll talk to HR later.
Yeah.
Okay. So look, some final thoughts here. You brought up the yield curve in the last segment. So the market is throwing weird signals at us. Okay.
Right.
So today is an example. Okay. We could get into the real weeds of things, but if we were to look at the S&P 500, I'm going to bring up a couple of data points so I can do these live. One of the things that I think we should be aware of is, when does the market go, you know, hit highs and lows, right? And so the lowest that we've seen in this sequence, right? So the market kind of topped out in, I think, the high water mark.
Wasn't it
in
like
the middle
48?
Of the day, it was the highest we saw was 4818.62 on the S&P, and that was on the 4th of January. So basically,
doesn't it seem like a really long time ago?
Kinda, yeah. So the first trading day of the year would have been on Monday the 3rd because of New Year's and the holidays. So Monday the 3rd, and then on the Tuesday after that, it shoots up for an all-time high in the middle of the day, and then it fades from there. And the lowest that we saw so far in the middle of the day was, and then again, S&P 500, there's some problems with this index. It's not perfect because it's very top-heavy, but the lowest we saw was 4114.65. Today, it's at 4170.70, and the lowest it got to was 4157.87. I realize I just threw number salad at you, but the
what
point
I'm hearing
is
we're real close to where
we're
we've
close,
bottomed.
But we're still higher than we were in February, on February 24th. So that was before the war started. The market was already anticipating bad news, and the market kind of printed this low print. Now, the question is, can we go lower from here? And the answer is sure, of course we can. But here's some of the conflicting data that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. When investing, you prefer to buy things that feel like they're a bargain, right?
Yes.
Like you're getting a good deal. Okay. One of the things that we see is a steepening yield curve. Now, let me explain really, really quickly. Yield curve is looking at the difference between short-term interest rates and long-term interest rates, right? And if I want to borrow money for 90, or if I'm going to loan money for 90 days, I'm going to get it paid back pretty quick. I don't have to charge that much interest. But if I'm going to loan money for 30 years, I need to protect myself from a loss of purchasing power by inflation. So I need to have higher payments on that loan. I need to charge more interest in order to get paid back. Well, here's the thing. The bond market is borrowing money from investors. That's what bonds do. Okay, the government borrows money, corporations borrow money, and they sell bonds, and they're selling a loan obligation. And the person lending the money is the investor. If the investor doesn't trust that they will be paid back with enough purchasing power, they won't buy the investment. So either the price falls or interest rates go higher to compensate for the risk of inflation. A rising rate environment suggests that the economy is getting stronger, that we're expecting inflation, and so people aren't willing to loan the money long-term for less. So that also means they're not taking the money out of the stock market and buying long-term bonds.
Yeah.
So while the stock market may short-term be coming, like money may be coming out of the stock market, if it's buying into very short-term rates, that's going to drive the short end of the curve down, but the long end of the curve isn't changing. So we still have a somewhat orderly market where people are not anticipating a long-term protracted decline economically. That's sort of what the yield curve is hinting at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one is we look at price versus earnings. And we talked about the price to earnings ratios. And we're seeing price to earnings ratios that are now pulling back to levels that we saw before the pandemic, which were still a little on the high side, but nowhere near as high as they pushed up to.
Wasn't it like a 40% pullback on
the
PE ratios?
Yeah, we saw sort of on a large scale about a 40% retraction in the average PE ratio of the S&P 500. So those are signs that maybe things are getting to be on sale. So, you know, you never know as an investor. It's not advice, but look, the music's playing, so we got to get out of here. So if you have questions, give us a call, 541-375-0898. Till next time, this has been David Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.